Joshua chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse number 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest how in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word. Brother Ben, would you lead us in prayer? Now look at your Bibles. In three places, the Bible says in verse number 8 concerning Caleb, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. In verse number 9, the Bible reads, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. The Bible says again in verse number 14, but because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now God made Israel promises. But what a sad reality is, there were some that had the promise but didn't get the possession. There were some that bogged down in the wilderness because of unbelief. Caleb was not that way. Him and Joshua, if you remember, were part of the 12 spies that were sent to spy out the land. And you'll find that Joshua and Caleb, they brought back the good report. You'll find the other 10 brought back an evil report. They discouraged their brethren. And God brought judgment. And all those that were 20 years of age and older, they perished there in the wilderness. For 40 years, they wandered. They had the promise right there. But it was only a few that got the possession. Those that wholly followed the Lord their God. I wonder how many Calebs are in the building tonight. I wonder how many tonight have set in their heart to follow God with every ounce of their being. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, Caleb, a man who followed the Lord. Now, understand this. No one just pencils in God when they want to. Nobody gets up one morning and says, you know, today I'm going to wholly follow the Lord my God. It don't work that way. My friend, we are born in this world with a sin nature. We do not seek God our own. God comes looking for us. For everybody that's been saved in this room, you remember a time when God sought you out, when God convicted your heart of sin, when God saved you. When I think about this man Caleb, I think about some of the experiences that he went through in his life. And there are some events that took place that kind of got him to the point where he was wholly following the Lord. And before I get the meat of the message tonight, let me point a few things out here to you tonight. Concerning the career of this man Caleb. Number one, I want you to see this. He knew what it was to be a slave in Egypt. The children of Israel had went down into Egypt during the days of Joseph. And Joseph had, by God's hand, become the governor there in Egypt. And they stayed there in Egypt. But a new Pharaoh arose, one that did not know Joseph. And he put the children of Israel in bondage. And there came that generation that would eventually come out of the land of Egypt, and Caleb belonged to that generation. He knew what it was to be a slave in Egypt. He knew what it was to be in bondage. His life was rigorous, folks. His life was bitter. I know someone whose life was hard and whose life was bitter also, and that'd be mine. I remember when it was to be a slave in this world, a slave in bondage to sin. It's rigorous and it's bitter. Hard bondage it was. He was forced to serve. His taskmaster was old Pharaoh himself. And that taskmaster did not love Caleb, nor any of the people that were in bondage. He had his way, they all could die. If they couldn't serve and give him some type of service that would benefit him, he could care less if they died or not. And my friend, that's the way the old devil is. My friend, he doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. My friend, he wants to keep you in life bitter. He wants to keep you in hard bondage. The Bible teaches us this. The way of the transgressor is hard. Oh, my friend, listen, they groan with their hearts for something better. You may be here tonight, and you may be lost and undone. You may be desiring something better. My friend, you won't find it out in this world. This world has nothing to offer you. My friend, you won't find joy and peace and happiness in religion or ordinances or anything like that. My friend, you will find joy and peace and contentment at the foot of the cross. When you, my friend, come and realize that you're lost and you're undone and you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Caleb knew that he was a slave. He was in bondage in Egypt, my friend. All they had to look forward to was death. Work, 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 work until they died. My friend, that's the way it is with those that's lost in this world. My friend, the only thing facing them, live a life and just to die without Christ, what a horrible way to go. He knew what it was to be a slave in Egypt. You know, if you do any type of soul winning, if you knock on any doors, if you've witnessed anybody at work or wherever you're at school, you're going to find something out. Everybody in Spartanburg County saved. They all tell you they're saved. Everybody, they've learned the terminology. They know what you want them to say, and they've learned to say, yeah, I'm saved. Oh, my friend, but until a man is born again, until a man is saved of the grace of God, then he is not saved. He's not on his way to heaven until that point where he accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. My friend, what I'm saying to you tonight is this. In order to get saved, you got to get lost. Amen. You got to recognize that you've broken the law of a holy God. You stand guilty before him. Oh, the second thing that I see about Caleb as I look through his career, the children of Israel, they were there. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. They began to groan. They began to moan. And they began to do something. They began to cry out to the Lord their God. The second thing I want you to realize about Moses, he called on the Lord. My friend, I remember a day when I was in bondage, when I was lost, and I was undone, I was on my way to hell, and the Holy Ghost of God revealed that to me, and I was on the third pew on this side of the church. We only had two rows of pew at Women Hill Baptist Church, and I was on this side right here in the third pew, and I didn't wait for no invitation. I bowed my head, and I called on Jesus Christ to save my soul right there. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word shall is important. That means if you call, he's going to answer. It's inevitable. He will save you. If a person comes under a Holy Ghost conviction and repents their sin and calls on Jesus Christ to save them, God will save them. If you're here tonight and you got that void in your heart, darkness is on the face of the deep of your heart. What you need is the light of the world. You need Jesus Christ. If you call on him to save you tonight, he will save you. Caleb knew what it was to be a slave in Egypt. He knew what it was to call upon the Lord. He knew what it was to be sheltered by the blood. The Passover lamb would be a lamb that, God would require that Israel would take, and they would slay that lamb. And they would take the blood and put up on the doorpost and lintel. And that night, the death angel would come through. And wherever the blood would be, they would pass over that home and the firstborn would not die. But no matter where the blood was not put, whether it be in the prison or whether it be in the king's palace, whether it be the rich man, whether it be the poor man, that house, the firstborn, would die. You had to be under the blood. Now, the blood speaks of several things. Number one, I'll say this, it speaks of condemnation. God judges sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, when Jesus gave his blood for you and I, it proved to you and I, the cross proved that God will judge sin. Now, Jesus had no sin. He committed no sin whatsoever. No vile thought, no vile word, no vile action. He was completely sinless. But he died for our sins. He took our place. When I think of that Passover lamb, I think about that blood, I think about substitution. There in the scriptures, you'll find they shall take to them every man a lamb. Every condemned person needs a lamb. I'll say it this way, every condemned person needs the lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sheltered by the blood, but it wasn't enough just to kill that lamb. It wasn't enough just to kill the lamb and have that blood there on the ground. That blood had to be appropriated. It had to be put upon that door post of the lintel there. My friend, in order to be saved, same thing is true. How do you apply that blood? By faith. My friend, by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. That's mere history. But when you recognize you're lost, you're in bondage to sin, you're on your way to hell, and you recognize, my friend, that Jesus died for your sin and rose again, and you call upon that Savior to save your soul, what you do is by faith, you reach out and you accept the blood sacrifice that he has given for you. You accept the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're birthed into the family of God. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. Amen. It's good to be saved. I can say this, if you're here tonight and you're lost and undone, I got the advantage on you. I do. I was lost at one point. Then I accepted Jesus. Now I'm saved. I know what it is to be lost. I know how hard it is. I know what it is to lay your head down your pillow at night and afraid to die because you know you're lost and you're going to go to hell. I know what it is to be unsettled in your heart while not knowing Jesus as Savior. Listen, condemned, looking at God's law and realizing you've broken it. But I also know what it is to be forgiven. Amen. I know what it is to be saved. And I got to tell you, the grass is greener on this side of the fence. It is good being saved. Hey, we're not saved by feelings, but I can tell you this, it sure does feel good to be saved. To know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, to have joy put in your heart, a peace that passes all understanding. To know that if something happened to you tonight, that when you lay your head down your pillow at night, that all things are well between you and the Lord. If anything was to happen during the night, you know you'd wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. What a blessing it is to be saved. Caleb knew what it was to be sheltered by the blood. The blood of Christ brings forgiveness. It brings cleansing. But I'll say this. He'd go to the Red Sea. And there at the Red Sea, Israel would be cornered in. Here come the Egyptians. There were bloodthirsty Egyptians. And they wanted to kill Israel. But God would open up that Red Sea. And Israel would pass on through. And those Egyptian soldiers would enter into the Red Sea, and you'll find that God will close the walls of the Red Sea upon those Egyptians, and they would drown. And before that, though, Moses said this concerning them. He said, concerning those Egyptians, he said, you'll see them no more. Friend, I'm glad to report to you that my bloodthirsty sins were in hot pursuit. But the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, guess what? Those sins he sees no more. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. What sins are you talking about? Now, you might bring something up on me, but God ain't going to bring nothing up on me. My friend, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. Caleb followed the Lord because he knew the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord because he understood who God was and what God had done for him. And he put faith and trust in God. Now let me point out a couple things to you concerning him following the Lord. Number one, I'll say this. I didn't know any other way to put this. Number one, he followed the Lord. Look in verse 8. but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly followed. That gives you the indication that, listen, he's closed the gap. He wholly followed the Lord. If the Lord's over here, he got over there. He closed the gap between him and the Lord. Every inch mattered, Brother Tim. Every inch mattered. He wanted to get as close to the Lord as he could. Now, I'll say this. The only person holding you back from getting close to the Lord is yourself. You can get as close to the Lord as you want to. You know, I think about the Last Supper before the Lord goes to the cross. You know, there was the disciples, and the Lord revealed to the disciples there was a traitor in the midst, and they all wondered who it was. And you remember what Simon Peter did? Simon Peter beckoned down to John and said, ask him who it is. Like Jesus couldn't hear him. But he said, ask him who it is. You know why he asked John? Because John was close to him. Peter could have been just as close. Peter could have got out of the chair and went over there and been with him just as close as John was. My friend, listen, you can point your finger at other people. You can blame other people. But the only person keeping you from getting as close to the Lord as you want to is yourself. Amen. Listen, followed the Lord. He followed the Lord. Now listen, God wants all of you. Let me say this, he already owns all of you that are saved. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Amen. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Listen, when you follow the Lord and you bow down before the Lord, standing in front of men is no big deal. You hear me? Listen, when I was lost and I was in school, I had a hard time with book reports and things like that. I had a hard time getting in front of people. But listen, when God saved me and God called me to preach, I ain't got a problem getting in front of you folks. I don't have a problem with that. Why? Because, listen, if you bow before the Lord, he'll give you the power to stand before men. And you can do what God would have you to do. Amen. God will give you the strength. God will give you the victory. He followed the Lord. Secondly, I'll see this. Look in verse number 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Secondly, I'll say this, in following the Lord and following him holy. He believed the Lord. He believed what the Lord had said. He believed God. When I look over in Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, verse number 34, the Lord speaking about this, the children of Israel, the 10 spies had discouraged the folks, and this is what the Lord said. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give that land, the land that he hath trodden upon to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He believed the Lord. He believed that God would keep his promise. Now, God's made a lot of promises to us. God has made a lot of promises. Do you believe God will keep his promises? God will keep every single promise that he's made to you. You see, when those people went out and they saw those giants, you know who Caleb saw? Caleb saw God. That's who he saw. They saw giants. He saw God. They saw fenced cities. You know what he saw? He saw rubble on the ground. They saw big foes. How in the world are we going to take these giants? You know what Caleb saw? He saw a defeated enemy is what he saw. My friend, if you're going to defeat giants, you better have a giant God. And we got a giant God. Amen. Listen, those people looked and said, look how big they are. You know what Caleb said? Look how big God is. My friend, if you're going to wholly follow God, you got to believe him. If he makes you a promise, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where you're at in this world, my friend, he'll keep his promise. Believe him. Reach out by faith and take that promise and go with it. Step out by faith. You know, when I first got called to preach, I didn't know no better. I just started preaching. I found me a radio station. I went over there. I said, I want to preach. I went through this little interview, and my beliefs checked out with them, and off we went. But, you know, me and my wife had just gotten married. We were living paycheck to paycheck. I didn't have $40 a week. I paid for one radio broadcast, folks. And I don't know how many years I was on that radio station, 7, 8, I guess. I lost track somewhere along the line. But you know how many I paid after that? Not a one. You know what God was looking for? This is what God was looking for. I believe you, Lord. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for somebody to step out and just make themselves available. And that's what God's looking for us tonight. If we're going to wholly follow the Lord, we got to put our faith and trust in what he says and these precious promises in this book and go with God. Take that step and wholly follow the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He believed what the Lord said. I'll say this, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, think about this. When the children of Israel, the 12 spies go out and the report comes back, this is what the report was concerning the evil report of the 10. They would turn around and say, the Amalekites are there, the giants are there, and we are grasshoppers in their side. When I think about him strengthening himself in the Lord, there's three things, obstacles he could overcome. The first one is this. I'd say grasshoppers. He had the grasshoppers to overcome. There's always going to be somebody that's going to say, we can't afford it. There's always going to be somebody that says, we ain't never done it that way. There's always going to be somebody that's going to say, we can't do that. That's too big. He had to overcome grasshoppers. I'm going to say something. If you're going to be, holy follow the Lord, guess what? There's going to be, most of the time, you're going to have to go against the majority. Most of the time, people are going to stand up against you, and they're going to be grass. They're going to look at themselves, and they're going to be grasshoppers in the side of the giants. My friend, listen, that's what the kind of thing that he had to overcome. He had to overcome grasshoppers, and he did that. He wasn't worried about what everybody else thought. Amen. Listen, if God's given you something to do, I'll say this, and I said it last time I preached, the word of God and the spirit of God will never contradict. Amen. It'll never contradict. If you ever hear anybody say, and God told me to do something, and it's contrary to this book, God didn't tell them. Now, I'll say this. Maybe a spirit did tell them, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. That's right. Now, listen, the spirit of God and the word of God will always line up. So if God touches your heart, you should be able to go to the word of God and get it verified. And if you can't verify it, then hold on. Don't make a move. But listen, if you know that God spoke to your heart and God's given you instruction, step out by faith, believe God's promise, strengthen yourself in the Lord, and don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about it. Hey, listen, my friend, go for the glory of God. Preach, teach, whatever it is, witness, whatever it is that God's given you to do. He had to overcome grasshoppers. He had to overcome giants. Giants. Now listen, as I've already said, those people, they saw giants. They seen people that were much bigger than them, much stronger than them, much faster than them, somebody that without God they couldn't beat. But guess what? Caleb had God. The rest of the children of Israel did too. They just put faith and trust in his promise. They didn't strengthen themselves in the Lord. He overcome giants. And then I'll say this, he overcome gray hairs. He was 40 years old when he sent him out. 45 years later, what is that? 40 plus 45 is 85, right? 85 years old. And you know what? He's getting a little age on him now, but he ain't letting that slow him down. That's right. He didn't let it slow him down. I want to say something to you. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord, you believe the Lord, you follow him wholeheartedly, I don't care if you're 5 years old or 85 years old, my friend, God will honor you, God will bless you, and God will strengthen you in what endeavor God has already laid upon your heart to do. I've seen people, and I will say this, I've seen people come into church, own up in age, feeble. They may be carrying an oxygen tank. They may be carrying something else to help them out. But well, I'll tell you what, if they don't help anybody else, they bless my heart. They help me out. And the folks that go for the glory of God till they can't go no more, what a blessing they are. What a blessing they are. My friend, and I look at folks like that, and then I look at myself, and I'm blessed with certain things that they no longer have. And sometimes I look at myself, and I'm ashamed. I am. I'm ashamed sometimes because I recognize they're giving it all they got for the glory and honor of the Lord. They strengthen themselves in the Lord, and they're not letting nothing hinder them from getting to where they want to be. I see that he followed the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. But then this, he had fellowship with the Lord. When you look at what he says in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. When I look at what that city would be called, when I look at that mountain there, it's called Hebron. You know what Hebron means? It means fellowship. It means fellowship. Caleb refused to quit. Caleb would not let nothing get in his way. Giants, grasshoppers, people, circumstances, it didn't matter. He had God, and he wasn't going to quit till he got that mountain, till he got that possession. You know what? What possession have you not gotten yet? You know, I think about my own life, and I'm sure you're the same way. You know, there's a lot more to gain. There's a lot more blessings out there that we can have. There is a difference, folks, between being given a promise and reaching out and possessing that promise. Israel was given a promise of that land, but it wouldn't be that generation that went in and spied it out save Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else would die. Those 20 years of age, they'd be the ones that believed God. They'd be the ones under Joshua's leadership that go forward and take it. God's given you promises, folks, but you got to step out by faith and make it a reality. My friend, it may be that God's laid upon your heart that he'll be with you to go witness to that neighbor. It may be that God's laid upon your heart and has called you to preach, and you're just uneasy about that, not sure. My friend, listen, you'll know when it's God, and you'll know when it's the Holy Spirit bidding you to open up this book and to proclaim the gospel message. You'll know. Listen, when I got called to preach, the same Spirit that convicted my soul that I was lost and undone was the same Spirit that showed me that I needed to preach for the Lord Jesus Christ. That Spirit will show you, it will guide you, but you know, there was a little bit there that I did like this right here. Prayed. And then I began to think about some of the promises of God. And I'm not going to go through that whole deal there when I got called to preach. But I can just tell you this. I had promises of God, and I recognized that I could count on those promises. And I just asked God for two things. He didn't have to give me these two things, but I've asked him for them. And he's given. I just wanted a message to preach and a place to preach. And God's given me that. Of course, the message is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the place is the world. You don't have to have a pulpit to preach. Amen. A backup pickup truck will be fine. Sidewalk, radio station, tent, wherever God gives you an opportunity to spread the gospel. But my friend tonight, Caleb was a man who wholly followed God. He followed him, he believed him, he strengthened himself in. He knew him as Lord and Savior. Here tonight, if you're going to wholly follow God, you must first know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And my friend, you must follow God with all your heart. You must believe what the Scripture says. You must strengthen yourself in the Lord and have that close fellowship with the Lord. Don't quit. Count on God. Stay in close communication with him. Pray to him, and God will see you through. And listen, there's been a lot of people started out good in this book and ended wrong. Solomon ended wrong. King Saul started out okay but ended up wrong. I could go on and on and on. You know, folks, I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be one of those that start out pretty good and then get down towards the end and just shipwreck my life. I want to be one of those that the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. And I believe you do too. And my friend, if we'll sit in our heart tonight to wholly follow the Lord, not to hold back anything, but give him everything, give him our time, give him our strength, give him our mind, give him our heart. My friend, at the end of the day, I believe God will give us that good saying as he did here with Caleb, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I couldn't think of anything better to stand before my Lord and Savior who's done so much for me and say, Joey, you follow me wholly. You follow me with all your heart. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. My friend, wouldn't you like that for you as well? Maybe tonight you said, "Preacher, I ain't been following the Lord with all my heart. I've been holding part of me back." My friend, there's no time like the present to get that thing right with the Lord and go out and wholly follow the Lord like Caleb did. And follow him, believe him, fellowship with him, let him strengthen you in whatever endeavors for you to do. It'll benefit you. It'll benefit your family. It'll benefit your community. It'll benefit your country. It'll benefit your church. And you'll never regret the day when you decide in your heart that I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord Jesus Christ.